Chapter 8. March 29th of Year 1. I feel clumsy and slow with the new fabricator in my center. If I were a woman, I would probably compare it to pregnancy. I was once a physician, back then, but of course I don't really know how a pregnancy would feel. I certainly have issues adjusting my self-image to this new body shape. I am not the ship. I have been trying desperately to avoid viewing the ship as my personal self. However, my feelings fit the next step rather well. Messenger still has to give birth to the life it will transport to the far star Proxima Centauri. In the belly of the ship, a few hundred water bears of the species Milnesium tardigradum are waiting to be awakened from their cryogenic suspension. They look like tiny barrels and are not even a millimeter long. In this state of existence, they can be exposed to vacuum, hard radiation, and temperatures close to absolute zero, yet still survive. Their metabolism is completely suspended, and this means they will not age, no matter how long their journey lasts. The time has come to return them to life. For this purpose, I simply have to add warm water to their cramped container. The first stage fabricator has already produced sufficient H2O. It flows through narrow channels into the tardigrades' enclosures, which are simply millimeter-sized holes in the center of the ship. The eight-legged creatures breathe oxygen through the surface of their skin and feed on organic molecules. That is all they need. Therefore, they are not bothered at all by not seeing their environment, just as long as the supply of oxygen and food keeps coming. The fact that we have several hundred tardigrades on board is a safety measure that does not cost much, because these creatures are so small. Basically, we only need a single one. Biologists on Earth expanded the creature's DNA so that the complete genomes of Adam and Eve fit in there. Trials proved that the natural repair mechanisms of cells could preserve crucial information better than an electronic database ever could. Silicon memory cells could lose data through the effect of cosmic radiation. Nature, though, has learned in the course of millions of years to handle such negative influences. In the case of tardigrades, Mother Nature has developed very efficient strategies against this. Why shouldn't we use those? 5 hours later, I observe a milling mass in the tardigrade cell. These creatures slowly move across the walls of their home on their eight legs. Chemical sensors tell them where to find food. I zoom in to see their mouths more clearly, and they are covered with rectangular structures, making it look like their lips are notched. When one of the creatures looks down, where I can observe it via camera module, I see the sharp stiletto blades reaching like small knives into the oral cavity. A tardigrade can move these stilettos back and forth at amazing speeds in order to cut up food. A foodstuff is designed to be almost completely digested. Whatever remains will be excreted through an opening on the lower area of the belly in front of the last pair of legs. Watching these creatures graze is very calming for me. Things move quite slowly for a Milnesium tardigradum. Even as a child, I was fascinated by aquariums, and this community of creatures in a glass cell very much reminds me of one. This species has probably existed for many millions of years, and will survive mankind by millions more, because of its hardiness and the fact that it has spread equally through oceans and lakes and on land. These specimens here are going to die, though, after the incubation chamber extracts Adam and Eve's DNA from them and checks its structure for completeness. It would not be efficient to continue providing food and oxygen for them on board, yet their deaths will not be meaningless, because all the organic matter of which they consist will be needed for Adam and Eve.